Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please. Without me. Come on, help me say it. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it. You gotta tell him for yourself. You gotta tell him for yourself.
Don't do it.
God is able to lift him up.
As I pray this morning for those that lost so much, those that lost life, and those that didn't know it was going on, right there in Rolling Forks, not too far from Yazoo City, Rolling Forks, just down the highway. We've been to Tunica, we know where all that's at. You know, I've been down there many a times. But I'm going to let you know that God is still in control. I'm praying for those families that lost so much, and I'm telling you that God is still in the business of blessing. And I was telling the brother, God know what he's doing, and God know how he's doing it. You got to pray for those kind of things. I was asking a lady when I was down there, do you have a storm cellar? He said, what is that? It's a place where you go when it's a storm. They start making them. But when I was kind of, we had a storm cellar. You could go down in the storm cellar. We had a lamp, a cooler lamp, food, canned goods. You could stay in there for a week. But now we have got away from that. The politics have got away from that. And they don't feel you need that. But God is still in control. Thing. I just want to say that. As I get ready on this Sunday, Sunday morning with the bishop, and I'm talking about a breakthrough, you know, and I want to say this, it's been 55 years since Dr. King was in Chicago. Dr. King was in Chicago March 1968, he was in Chicago, staying on the west side in Chicago. Dr. King was in Chicago for a march against open housing march. West Side Organization, Reverend John Thurston, the West Side Organization, and all the organizations on the west side was with Dr. King. When he was marching, and this is what happened, because I want to share this with you. It's been 55 years ago, Dr. King was marching. We marched in Marquette Park for open housing. They didn't like blacks to come to open housing. We marched also in Cicero. They didn't like blacks to live in Cicero. Once blacks opened it up, lots of Spanish folk moved to Cicero. Once blacks opened up Marquette Park and Gainesville, lots of white folks moved over there. But it was no blacks in Marquette Park or Gainesville Park in 1955. I just want you to know that. And we marched every day. And we went to King Drive, and we had a rally right there at 47 in LaSalle Park then. We had a rally there at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and we left every day going over to Western, 71st and Western. We marched for a solid month. And what happened, Dr. Martin Luther King had a call, and he had to go back to Atlanta. But I want to go a little bit further. Before that, when Dr. King came to town, a lot of black preachers wouldn't support Dr. King. The Daily told him, don't let Dr. King in the churches. Okay, that's what happened, and some of them didn't. And Reverend Clay Aaron was building his church, and he let him in. They stopped the building of his church, not the church where he at now. They stopped the building of that church for a whole 4 years. Yeah, they wouldn't okay it to be built. That's a fellowship Baptist church. People didn't know that. But we marched, I'm going to say we marched every day. We marched to Marquette Park. Now, just what I want to say to you that you might not understand. Mama Annie Bacon, this Jeff Ford mother, was in the, was cooking for us. We had another lady, Miss Grady, of the Woodland of the Inglewood organization. She cooked and brought food to us when we marched in Marquette Park. Let me break it on down. Daley told the police department do not protect the people that was marching. Okay, that was told. Do not protect Dr. Martin. This been 55 years ago that you couldn't go to Marquette Park, you couldn't go to Gage Park. You know, I don't see why blacks are jumping on. This was a racial town. And when Dr. King marched over there, the protection was the gang members. There wasn't no Chicago police because they was told to back up. On the west side, Dr. King bodyguard was the vice, the conservative vice lords of Dr. King bodyguard, got there on Independent. And you got to understand, the vice lords on the west side guarded Dr. King. And the disciples, that time it was David Barksdale and Larry Hoover. They was together, and they protected Dr. King in Inglewood when he came. Jeff Ford and Eugene Harrison protect Dr. King over in the Woodlawn area. So all the King nations got together and they protected Dr. King. And the police department could not get to Dr. King because them young boys, they was packing their pistols and they say ain't nobody gonna mess with Dr. King. And didn't nobody mess with Dr. King. The Black Panther Party, they was protecting Dr. King, but they started a feeding program in Chicago. This is 55. This is 1955. It's been 55 years ago when it happened. Now, this before Dr. King left and went to Memphis and got killed, got murdered. But here, the young people guarded Dr. King and they marched and they was the soldiers, you know, and it wasn't no push. It was SCLC, Christian Leadership Conference. On the west side, it was the West Side Organization. These are the black organizations that stood for justice and equality. If anybody know what I'm talking about, you know what happened. Lots of young folks don't even know what happened in Chicago. So these crooked politicians jumping, going with Vallis. Vallis were with Daley back then. And anything we want him. See, we're too quick not to do no research what happened to black folks in the city of Chicago. Black folks in the city of Chicago cannot move to Marquette Park and Gage Park. They couldn't go to Cicero that you get beat up. You get baseball bat for this. Some people got beat up in Marquette Park and Gage Park. This happened in 55. This is what happened. So I just want you to know that before you get so religious and you get so holy because you got a job. The job you got was because of Harold Washington, because of the marching that we did in the city of Chicago. Any job, black holding, we had to march and close down, come with Edison. Right there on State Street in the project, they wouldn't have blacks. We shut them down. The marching, we had to march on the Union. You that working bulldozers, working construction, we had to shut them down. How did we do it? We had the Team Nation, Reverend A.R. Dunlap, Reverend Hatchett, and the other ministers march with us to shut down the construction company in the city of Chicago. Listen, 55. They wouldn't even let blacks drive bulldozers. They wouldn't even let blacks go into the community and do nothing until we shut them down. Our slogan was, no work, no black, no work. And we shut them down all the way from 35th to 55th. Couldn't nobody do no pipeline or nothing. Commonwealth Edison was one of the racist companies there was. The gas company was the racist company until we marched. So everything that black folks got in Chicago, they went to fight for it. Then you got blacks. You know, Willie Wilson to make me sick. He get on TV, so he's for black folks. He the first somebody come out and endorse Vallis. Then here come Jesse White, been out to Tom all his life. He supported. And then he's cricket autumn. We got to change the scenario in Chicago. We got to get these aldermen out of office because they ain't doing what they supposed to do. People have died. People have went to jail. Right now, Larry Hoover is in jail for supporting Dr. King. Jeff Ford is in jail, right? They political prisoners. Because daily the machine put them in jail. Would lie up to, they couldn't kill them. They killed Mark Clark and Fred Hampton. They couldn't kill Jeff. They couldn't kill Larry because Larry had his pistols, had his gang, and Jeff had his boys. So they what they did, this is what they did, Lorraine. They set up with something to put him in jail. They're in prison now. And Blackstone forgot them. And here's Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush went across, and look, the reason he got that job was because of black folks. He's the first somebody to jump out for somebody white. I'm sick of these him. Uncle Tom black folks saying they black, but they doing other things. Here's Bobby Rush. Come out of the Black Panther Party and then jump over. I don't understand what happened to these black folks in Chicago, in Detroit. In fact, we got people in Detroit. Well, it's political. We got people in California, in Oakland, California, Black Panthers, in jail now, and they ain't did nothing to help. It's very important. But I'm just want to say that because I want to talk about Rosewood. Blacks don't know. You don't know what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where 300 blacks was killed in business, shot down. The government didn't do nothing. Biden came this year. To recognize, we don't want you to recognize it. Give us reparation. We need reparation. Pay us. Give us the money that our ancestors gave. Y'all don't want to hear this. Y'all want to go to church. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The tornado come down and wiped out right down south, down there in Rolling Fork. We got to have some help. We got to have some people involved in making this thing work. That has got to happen. And it got to happen quick, fast, and in a hurry. Mother Peyton gonna read the scripture this morning.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people.
Mm-hmm.
He maketh the barren woman to keep house,
yes,
and to be joyful mother of children.
Mm-hmm.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill,
yes,
out of your mess, and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now, that God is uplifting us in the spite of,
yes,
the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he's over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and picked you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know, whatever you might be going through,
Get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you sit. Your present state going to change in 2014, 2015, 2016. Get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yeah.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus. Get ready to say, all is well.
Yeah.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you, because you know that God said high and look low.
Yeah.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess. He bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
So God is about to lift you up this morning. It reminds me of the prodigal son. As he went out and rotted living and spent all his money,
yes,
he come to himself,
yes, Lord,
found himself in a hog pen,
yes,
and looked around and said, wait a minute, I come to myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I don't pose to be in this condition. I want to tell you, you don't pose to be in the condition you're in.
Yes.
When you come to yourself,
thank
you're going to raise up and say, enough is enough.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank
but
you.
As we go on today, he looked around and said, I'm in the hog pen with the hogs.
Yes.
Let me paraphrase a little bit for you. You are there hungry.
Thanks.
You're there ain't got no job.
Thanks.
You're there where all kind of rotten living is going on and you accepting it. I want you to come to your senses this evening. I want you to come to your senses this morning.
Yes.
I want you to come to your senses. I need to get up and get out and go to the Creator,
yes,
who made me.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And when this young man came to himself, he dusted himself off and pulled what little rags he had up. So I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Thank you, Lord.
To my father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going back.
Yeah.
To where Jesus. I'm going back to where food.
Yes.
I'm going back where I can be healed. I'm going back where I can come off of dope, alcohol, and drugs. I'm going back where I got a peace of mind. Somebody, young man, you need to come back.
Yes.
Young
yes.
woman, you need to come back.
Yes.
Somebody needs to come
yes.
back to Jesus.
Oh,
you've
yes.
been in the whole pen
yes.
too long. You've been down too long. You've been suffering
yes.
too long. You ought to come on back. As I'm coming back to Jesus, I can imagine in my eye, the young man got ready, and he began to walk down that long corridor and look at, you know, way made down south, they got big homes, and you can see for miles when you get on the property. When the young man got on his father's property, he felt a little bit better because he was aching, he was with pain, and cancer set in, sickness is set in because he was too long in the hog pen.
Yeah.
He was too long suffering. But when you make your mind up that you're going to reduce cancer, TB, tuberculosis, cataract, and tumor, this man comes, this young man says, I'm coming to myself. As he began to walk up, if you ain't going to pray with me, but if you walk down with me, as he began to walk on the property, when he get ready to walk on the estate,
yeah.
he began to feel a little better.
Yeah.
Look like he holds his head up and said, look,
yeah.
I own my father's property.
Well,
I'm on the land that I own.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo.
Glory. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is just good. We're going to have Brother Faden to pray for you.
Yes, Lord.
As he prayed this morning.
Well, Father, we come once again, oh God, looking and have mercy upon us.
Yes.
Oh God, before I go any further in this prayer.
Yes.
Oh God, I may have spoke wrong, may have talked wrong, may have sinned and come short.
Yes.
But I ask you to forgive me and love my soul freely.
Yes.
Lord, let this prayer be the one that reach you. Let it be the one that you listen to. Because, God, this world is in a bad shape. The people on God's contrary don't want to do right. Don't want to treat each other right. Oh, have mercy this evening. God, we can see somebody hungry. We won't even stop and give them no bread. And that ain't the way that you set this world to be. You said, love eat one another.
Now, that's like
was talking about the racism in this country. We're praying for the people down in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, devastating things tore up. People got to start new lives. People have died. Father God, the God of Abraham, the God that we come this morning, those that come to listen on the radio today, those that download, what I was telling you about Mississippi, what I told you about Cicero, and about my, I was there. I seen Dr. King. I seen the march. I seen the people go to jail. I seen the people beat. Father God, we come right now in the heart of the Delta of Mississippi where so much of violence and hanging and killing, in the killer, in the kill, and mega evils. God, we thank you that you brought back love in order of cleaning up the earth. Tornadoes and floods got to come back to back. That's God, a way of speaking. God, we ask you to bless those that lost everything. We ask you to restore body, mind, soul, and spirit in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God, touch that wayward boy that lost mama, lost brother, lost sister, lost loved ones in that what happened in down in Mississippi. We know that you had lost home. One man called, said, I ain't got nothing, bitch, other but you got your life. One lady said, I lost everything. Don't worry about materialistic stuff. Long as you got your life, you got your mind, God's going to restore. Whatever the devil stole, God's going to restore. Body, mind, soul. And I feel that this morning God is touching you in your mind and letting you see this devastation, and let you see all this evil, the killing and the murder that's going on. And, you know, Hitler killed 6 million. And you see Putin is killing people. You see people here in America being killed. We see the shooting in the schools, the shooting in the colleges and in the churches. Stop the killing, save the baby. We got to cry that out. And I want to talk about what happened in Rosewood. Some of you never heard of Rosewood, but I want to talk about what happened in Rosewood. And somebody don't even know where Rosewood at. But I want to talk a little bit about Rosewood, where you might know where Rosewood at and understand.
Selling good, not selling shit, but to the northern part. And that was a very powerful way to try to go right to back. But once they start to have stopped,
Is that Rip Van Winkle slept 20 years. But that is another part in that little story that is almost always completely overlooked. It was a sign in the end from which Rip went up in the mountain for his long sleep. Rip Van Winkle went up in the mountain. The sign had a picture aimed towards the third of England. When he came down, 20 years later, the sign had a picture of George Washington, the first president of the United States. Rip Van Winkle looked up at the picture of George Washington, and looking at the picture, he was amazed. Completely lost. He knew not who he was. And this reveals to us the most striking thing about the story of Rip Van Winkle is not merely that Rip slept 20 years, but that he slept through a revolution. While he was peacefully snoring up in the mountain, a revolution was taking place that at points would change the course of history. Rip knew nothing about it. He was asleep. Yes, he slept through a revolution. One of the great liabilities of life is that all too many people find themselves living amid a great period of social change. And yet they fail to develop the new attitude, the new mental response that the new situation demands. They end up through a revolution. There can be no gainsaying of the fact that the great revolution is taking place in the world today. In this sense, it is a triple revolution. That is a technological revolution with the impact of automation and cybernation. And that is a revolution in weaponry with the emergence of atomic and nuclear weapons of warfare. And that is a human rights revolution with the freedom explosion that has taken place all over the world. Yes, we do live in a period where changes are taking place. That is still the voice crying through the midst of the time, saying the whole, I make all things new. Former things are passed away. Now, whenever anything new comes into history, it brings with it new challenges and new opportunities. I would like to deal with the challenges that we face today as a result of this triple revolution that is taking place in the world today. First, we are challenged to develop a world perspective. No individual can live alone. No nation can live alone. And anyone who feels that he can live alone is sleeping through a revolution. The world in which we live is geographically one. The challenge that we face today is to make it one in terms of brotherhood. Now, it's true that the geographical oneness of this age has come into being to a large extent through modern man's scientific ingenuity. Modern man, through his scientific genius, has been able to thwart distance, place time and change. Our jet planes have compressed into minutes distances that once took weeks and even months. which tells us that our world is a neighborhood. Through our scientific and technological genius, we have made of this world a neighborhood, and yet we have not had the ethical commitment to make of it a brotherhood. Somehow and in some way we've got to do this. We must all learn to live together as brothers. We will all perish together as food. We are tied together in the single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. But whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the way God's universe is made. This is the way it's structured. Don Don caught it years ago and placed it in graphic terms. No man is an island in time itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And he goes on toward the end to say, any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. We must see this, believe this, and live by it. We are to remain awake through a great revolution. Secondly, we are challenged to eradicate the last vestiges of racial injustice from our nation. I must say this morning that racial injustice is still a black man's burden. White man's shame. It is an unhappy truth that racism is a way of life for the vast majority of white Americans, spoken and unspoken, acknowledged and denied, subtle, sometimes not so subtle. The disease of racism permeates, poisons a whole body politic. I can see nothing more urgent for America to work passionately and unrelentingly to get rid of the disease of racism. Something positive must be done. Everyone must share in the guilt, individuals and as institutions. Government must certainly share the guilt. Individuals must share the guilt. Even the church must share the guilt. We must face the sad fact, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, when we stand to sing, in Christ there is no east nor west. We stand in the most segregated hour of America. The hour has come for everybody, for all institutions, the public sector and the private sector, work to get rid of racism. If we are to do it, we must honestly admit certain things and get rid of certain myths that have constantly been disseminated all over our nation. One is the myth of time. It is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. And there are those who often sincerely say to the Negro and his allies in the white community, why don't you slow up? Stop pushing things so fast. Only time can solve the problem. If you will just be nice and patient and continue to pray, in 100 or 200 years, the problem will work itself out. That is an answer to that myth. It is a time that's neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. I'm sorry to say this morning that I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme righteous of our nation, the people on the wrong side, have used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. Comes through the time's efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals who are willing to be co-workers with God. Without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So we must help time and realize that time is always right to do right. Now that is another myth that still gets around. It is a kind of over-reliance on the bootstrap philosophy. There are those who still feel that if the Negro is to rise out of poverty, the Negro is to rise out of slum conditions, if he is to rise out of discrimination and segregation, he must do it all by himself. And so they say the Negro must lift himself by his own bootstraps. They never stop to realize that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. The people who say this never stop to realize that the nation made the black man's color a stigma. But beyond this, they never stop to realize the debt that they owe people who were kept in slavery for 244 years. In 1863, the Negro was told that he was free as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation being signed by Abraham Lincoln. But he was not given any land to make that freedom meaningful. It was something like keeping a person in prison for a number of years and suddenly discovering that that person is not guilty of the crime for which he was convicted. Just go up to him and say, now you're free. But you don't give him any bus fare to get to town. You don't give him any money to get some clothes to put on his back or to get on his feet again in life. Every code of jurisprudence would rise up against this. And yet this is the very thing that our nation did to the black man. It simply said, you're free. And it left them that penniless, illiterate, not knowing what to do. And the irony of it all is that at the same time, the nation failed to do anything for the black man. Through an act of Congress, it was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did it give the land, built land grant colleges to teach them how to farm. Not only that, it provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, years unfolded, it provided low interest rates so that they could mechanize their farms. And to this day, thousands of these very persons are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies every year not to farm. And these are so often the very people tell Negroes that they must lift themselves lift himself by his own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. We must come to see that the roots of racism are very deep in our country. And there must be something positive and massive in order to get rid of all of the effects of racism and the tragedies of racial injustice. Now that is another thing closely related to racism that I would like to mention as another challenge. We are challenged to rid our nation in the world of poverty. Like a monstrous octopus, poverty spreads its nagging pencil tentacles in the hamlets and villages all over our world. 2/3 of the people of the world go to bed hungry tonight. They are ill housed, they are ill nourished, they are shabbily clad. I've seen it in Latin America, I've seen it in Africa. I've seen this poverty in Asia. I remember some years ago, Mrs. King and I journeyed to that great country known as India. I never will forget the experience. It was a marvelous experience to meet, talk with the great leaders of India, to meet and talk with and speak to thousands and thousands of people all over that vast country. These experiences will remain dear to me as long as the cords of memory shall linger. But I see you morning, my friends, there were those depressing moments. When he sees with his own eyes evidences of millions of people going to bed hungry at night. Talking about the Lord being when he sees with his own eyes God's children tonight. Sleep on the sidewalks every night. They have no beds to sleep in. They have no houses to go in. Not one of them being depressed. He discovers that our country's population thank you.